You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
This should be no surprise to you. Here we are, July 8, 2021. Migrant detention centers are seeing a spike in coronavirus cases. The number of detainees almost doubling in recent months. As of last week, more than 26,000 in custody at U.S. facilities, compared to 14,000 in April. That's even being reported by the New York Times. And the New York Times is quoting Immigration and Customs Enforcement that 7,500 new coronavirus cases have been recorded during that time period. As I said, we shouldn't be surprised by it, because many times when they're coming across the border, they're not really being checked. And if they are checked, then they put them on a bus, move them somewhere else. Now, I want to stress something to you. This is something that's gotten out of control. Just because they're reporting more cases of the original COVID case are Delta variants, which may or may not be more deadly, depending upon you, situation, blah, blah. You know all that. Just reporting that number of cases does not mean anything other than simply that. Too many times, the next step is to translate, oh, more cases, that's going to mean automatically more deaths, not necessarily. You're counting, like during the flu season, how many had the flu? Not everybody dies of it. In fact, most don't. Again, I'm not saying that you can be careless or not consider the consequences. As I told you, I shared with you, I lost a close family member in the process that lost a battle with COVID, went quickly, totally surprising. So, no, you need to take concerns, and you need to make a decision as to what you want to do, especially when it comes to how much you want to protect yourself and or your family. Then, of course, in the midst of all this, we still have the push by the White House, along with state-controlled media, to shove critical race theory down our throats. CNN and NN had a big broadcast the other day out front and saying all the conflict and panic over critical race theory in schools is based on misinformation, propaganda from conservatives. The teachers' union has been pushing the critical race theory. And yet at the same time insisting we don't teach it in high schools, middle, and elementary schools. What? I don't think that's right. I think you do, or at least you want to. And to that point, Senator Tom Cotton, Republican of Arkansas, reacted to an op-ed by an Air Force Academy political science professor arguing in favor of teaching critical race theory at the academy. Senator Cotton said she has no business teaching the Constitution or political science to cadets at the Air Force. Should be looking for a different place of employment, in my opinion. I tend to agree with that. And yet at the same time, we still see more and more stories coming forward that this is the future. This is the future. Critical race theory. You're not supposed to really understand it. Just accept it as they teach it to your children. And the bottom line is it teaches that this nation was founded simply to have slavery. In fact, Ibram Kendi, who wrote one of the pieces about critical race theory, is talking to the teachers' union and said, quote, to be racist is to constantly, consistently deny, like Donald Trump. They cannot make an argument without putting Donald Trump's name into it. Have you noticed that? That should tell you everything. In the meantime, be aware of what's happening at your kids' schools. Find out. Demand some answers. This story coming out of a case involving a Louisiana 12-year-old. He said a man broke into the house, started battling with his mom. He feared the man was going to hurt his mom. He wouldn't leave, so the kid went and got a rifle and shot and killed the intruder. I hope for the kid to be okay. I'm glad he did what he did.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
For years, I've told you, be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental. That's because I know the excellent work Wellington does when it comes to making your home, your business, even hospitals safe. See, recently I asked Wellington to check a relative's home. The relative had been constantly sick. Doctors couldn't find a cause. I asked Tom Wellington, please check the house. After extensive testing, Wellington could rule out mold and other air and water toxins. Well, that was a major relief, and the negative results gave doctors added information. So when I encourage you to call Wellington, I mean it. Wellington, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the Better Business Bureau, Missouri and Illinois. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental. This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Yesterday we learned that sources in the so-called intelligence community told at least one reporter in Washington what was in those emails, my emails. There was nothing scandalous in there, thank God. We're happy to report that. Late this spring, I contacted a couple of people I thought could help get us an interview with Russian President Vladimir Putin. I told nobody I was doing this other than my executive producer, Justin Wells. I wasn't embarrassed about trying to interview Putin. He's obviously newsworthy. I'm an American citizen. I can interview anyone I want, and I plan to. But still, in this case, I decided to keep it quiet. I figured that any kind of publicity would rattle the Russians and make the interview less likely to happen.
Those are the words of Tucker Carlson last night, updating the situation on his claim that the NSA, National Security Agency, was tapping into his emails and possibly other conversations via electronic devices for the purpose of to embarrass him, to get his program off the air, whatever the intent could be. Now, when he first came out with the story last week, I told you then that I'm a Tucker fan. I still am. But just to come out and make that kind of statement and not really be backing it up when he said, we have proof. We have proof that the NSA has done this. I go, well, you're going to have to, where is your proof? Now, yesterday I had Fred Flights, president, CEO of the Center for Security Policy. And his first reaction when Tucker Carlson made the remarks last week, as Fred said, was, I laughed. I thought, not likely. But then he, and Fred has been in intel and various levels between the CIA and Department of Defense and House Intel Committees for close to 30 years. So he said, but I do know that some things happen like that. He said, but my first reaction was kind of think that maybe that's a little bit over the line, Tucker. But he said, the more I listened, more I looked at it, then I changed my perspective. And I told you when Tucker Carlson was first making those remarks, I was skeptical on many levels. And in part where he said they only could have had the information, it was in an email I sent. It wasn't at that time describing what the information was. He said the only way they could have had the information is if they intercepted our email or they were watching or things of that nature, electronically hacking into them. And I said, well, the first thing that comes to mind to me, if you send an email, somebody received it, and then maybe they left it up on a computer or they printed a copy, and then it goes into the print machine. And by the way, you should know this, in many cases, anything you put on a printer to be printed, it's stored. The actual item you printed, the information is stored inside the printer. So you can tear up all the pages, you can trace and wipe out everything else, but the printer you used, especially if you went to some public facility like a library or a local business chain that offers printing, your copies are probably on that printer to this day until they decide to dump everything. So there were a lot of ways the story could get out. And I did question a little bit. Like I said, I acknowledge. I did not really know Carlson's full background. I've been watching him for some time since he became a political commentator, long before he had his current program. I knew he'd written a couple of books. He had been an advocate of former President Trump, clearly. In fact, Politico described him at one time as perhaps the highest profile proponent of Trumpism and willing to criticize Trump if he strayed from it. So, in other words, acknowledging that he would also be fair to that extent. But he did begin in print journalism in the 1990s, writing for the Weekly Standard. Then he became a CNN commentator for 5 years, 2000-2005, and co-hosted that network's primetime news debate program, Crossfire, from 2001 to 2005. Then later on MSNBC. So he's been on that other side, and now, of course, has his own program. He has his chops. He's earned his chops, as we say in the business. But again, when he came out with a statement the other day, the first issue is, well, yeah, there are other ways. And, of course, then what were they after? Well, last night, Carlson laid more details out on what was actually behind the scenes.
I wasn't embarrassed about trying to interview Putin. He's obviously newsworthy. I'm an American citizen. I can interview anyone I want, and I plan to. But still, in this case, I decided to keep it quiet. I figured that any kind of publicity would rattle the Russians and make the interview less likely to happen. But the Biden administration found out anyway by reading my emails. I learned from a whistleblower that the NSA planned to leak the contents of those emails to media outlets. Why would they do that? Well, the point, of course, was to paint me as a disloyal American, a Russian operative, been called that before, a stooge of the Kremlin, a traitor doing the bidding of a foreign adversary. And of course, I'm hardly the only person who's been accused of those things in the last several years.
You're right about that. And that, between that and the opening soundbite, laid out what was at stake. He was just trying to arrange a meeting with Putin for an interview. And that maybe they want to take that and use that information that he was, basically in league with the Russians and the communists, as they did with Trump. I wasn't the only one questioning at that time when Carlson first came out with the story. I told you Fred Flights, the president, Center for Security Policy, admitted he laughed at first and then, was not sure and then began to raise more questions. Well, the same thing happened with Jim Garrity. And he wrote a piece in his publication. He said, color me exceptionally skeptical of Tucker Carlson's claim that the U.S. national security is spying on his texts and emails and plans to, quote, leak them in an attempt to take his show off the air. And then he adds, with a caveat. In other words, color me skeptical with a caveat. And that being, of course, that all of us know that, yeah, we have folks in control right now that might be abusing their powers and authorities. If they want to spy on someone, we do know that's happened. As some of the response I got from listeners, have you forgotten Snowden already, that he showed how the NSA was wiring and pulling up all this information on phones on a regular basis? No, I hadn't forgotten about it. But I have to remind you that just because it happened and it's documented one case does not mean automatically happened the second case. I was just looking for balance and saying we need an understanding. Well, last night, Tucker's remarks in laying out what was supposedly the launch point, in the sense that he wanted to reach out to Russian contacts, basically to get to Putin so they could do an interview. Well, that makes sense. And Carlson admitted that, as he was talking about last night, that things with the media, and by the media he's talking about the others. Well, here's what he had to say.
Even now, some in the media are claiming that we deserve this. Emailing with people who know Putin, are you? Of course the NSA is watching you. That's what you get. But that's hardly the point. By law, the NSA is required to keep secret the identities of American citizens who've been caught up in its vast domestic spying operations. So by law, I should have been identified internally merely as a U.S. journalist or American journalist. That's the law. But that's not how I was identified. I was identified by name. I was unmasked. People in the building learned who I was. And then my name and the contents of my emails left that building at the NSA and wound up with a news organization in Washington. That is illegal.
Yes, he's right on every one of those points. And there is an issue right there. The NSA, and Fred Flights has commented on this previously as well. And we had some discussion on it yesterday as well. He said this unmasking, and we know that the Obama administration had done that with some of the intel that they supposedly were collecting on Trump and Trump activists, supporters, family members that they were doing, quote, that they kind of caught them in some kind of security thing they were supposedly investigating or fabricating. And Fred said it's possible, yeah, that make it very clear, the NSA is investigating me because I have been plotting something that would be disastrous for the nation. And I'm working with some foreign counterpart. So they're looking into me, the FBI, and they are pulling my information. And then you call me and say, hey, Larry, you want to do dinner tomorrow? Yeah. Tell me when. We'll meet. Well, then now you are pulled in. But your name should not be made available to the public. You're not the target. You're just kind of wrapped up in the fact that you called me. That's exactly what Carlson is suggesting. He said, I'm not supposed to be identified. By law, he said, the NSA is required to keep secret the identities of American citizens caught up in its vast domestic spying operations. So I should have been identified internally merely as a U.S. journalist or American journalist. That's the law. And then we could try to play games as to see which journalist we could identify. But he said, but that's not how I was identified. I was identified by name. I was unmasked. You have to have high clearance to get somebody unmasked. Susan Rice did it numerous times while in the Obama administration. We know that. She stated it. And other testimony of other members of the Obama administration had done it. And again, as Carlson quickly pointed out, that is out of bounds.
In fact, it is precisely what this law was designed to prevent in the first place. We cannot have intelligence agencies used as instruments of political control. Both parties used to agree on that. Democrats were especially adamant on the point, but not anymore. So that's exactly what is happening here.
That is a key point. See, whether or not Tucker's original claim that the NSA was doing this to get his program pulled from the air by exposing him as being not credible or a Russian link source who was promoting Russian propaganda, whatever tactic that might have been played, not by the NSA, but those they give it to, not necessarily Democrats in name, but at least those who would oppose conservative views and think that this is a voice that needs to be silenced. That is certainly something that could have been underway. And as he said, we cannot have intel agencies used as instruments of political control. Both parties used to agree on that. And Democrats were especially adamant on the point, but not anymore. Well, we know that, obviously, from the time that Trump ran for office and then once he won and how the FBI, while there are great people inside the FBI and CIA, they were all basically turn the dogs loose, see what you can find on him. Well, Carlson says the NSA needs to put everything on the table for us to see at this point.
We don't have a lot of power. It's a TV show, but we're going to keep pushing for that because it matters not just to us, but to the entire country. You can't have a democracy in a place where unaccountable spy agencies keep people in line by leaking the contents of their emails, discrediting them with their own emails, which they thought were private. You can't. It doesn't work if you allow that. And we suspect congressional Republicans will also demand an answer. Many have finally awakened to the fact that the intelligence agencies, which they have blindly supported for so long, are not, in fact, their friends. They're not the friends of anyone in this country. They are dangerous. That's obvious.
That is a summation line that should ring over and over. They're not the friends of anyone in this country. They're dangerous. And that's obvious. He's talking about some of these intel agencies, which even Republicans have blindly supported. And yes, some Republicans are demanding already the NSA provide details of this, so we should have an inquiry on it. Take a break. When we come back, I'll tell you about a time that I basically could have gotten my family in deep, deep trouble with intel agencies for what I did. Stand by, please.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at LarryConnorsUSA.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So how many of you are familiar with Pravda? Pravda, P-R-A-V-D-A. We're not talking about a fashion designer. Pravda, the Russian newspaper, formerly the official newspaper of the Communist Party of the Soviet Union. At one time, one of the most influential papers in the country with a circulation of 11 million. By the way, Pravda stands for the truth. that's funny. Well, in the 60s, 63, 64 in there, I was in high school. No, you cannot use that to date me. You might be following this. If he's in high school at 63, 64, because you don't know how many times I got held back in the third grade, first of all. Secondly, I was in high school when I was 5 years old, so figure it from there. I mean, I was that smart. Right. But, of course, at that time, if you had a question about anything, there was no Google. Go Google that stuff. Well, you can't do that. You had to go to the library. You had to find it. And you could get papers. I lived in far west Texas. My dad was in oil field business. You could get papers from New York City or something. You just subscribe to them, paid for them, then they'd deliver them to your house. You know, you weren't going to get any internet type thing, but if you wanted to get another worldview or get something like that, well, I decided. I was taking some political classes or something. I don't recall exactly what, but I decided I want to see what Pravda has to say and how they're treating these things. And I can't even begin to tell you exactly how I did it now, looking back on it. I assume I sent a request in by mail, obviously, or maybe there's a phone number to call at that time. I don't recall doing that. But anyway, I did have Pravda arriving at the house. Briefly, as in one, it showed up at the house, and my mom saw it when it came in the mail, and she wouldn't give it to me. She said, "Your dad needs to talk to you." I said, "Well, it's just a paper. I mean, it's not no pornography or anything. Come on." Dad came home, and he was furious. See, I did not know. I was not aware of the McCarthy era and how people got labeled commie and red. And lost jobs, and families broken apart, and members of the family being accused of being a communist or something. I didn't really know that part of history. I just wanted to get the paper and read, see what they were saying, as they would say in Russia, reference something. Dad made it very clear. He said, you could have cost me my job. He said, it may still, the mailman who delivered this to our house now knows that a communist publication came to this house, this address. It was enough to scare me. And, of course, the script, I don't know if other mail came for a while or not, but I didn't see them. I assume at some point it got stopped. I don't know the details of that, but I just didn't recognize what I'd done. This is very much in similar what Tucker Carlson, as he said, I sent an email to my producer. We're just talking about arranging an interview with Putin, and he said that's his claim, that the NSA started spying, intercepting. The only way they could know that, they got inside his email. And they had not really denied it. They just said, that's not what we do, and he is not a target of an investigation. Well, but again, if he's contacting someone, and someone in Russia who is a target of investigation, then your communication is pulled into it too. Can you imagine what would happen now if the same McCarthy era existed as it did at that time in the 60s, and we had internet, and I'd gone on and Googled Pravda? My dad probably would have never had a chance to ever talk to me. He might have been pulled into jail and held for days, if not longer, to decide if he's a communist. That is why we value this nation and the freedoms with this nation. Every night and morning, that's part of my prayer for this nation, that we maintain the founding principles of this nation. Have we done some things wrong? Yes. Have we tried to right them? Yes. Or do we still have more to write? Yes. But we have freedoms, and people who complain about this country, they can do it here without being executed. And then you have the big tech companies, how they try to shut everything down, and specifically an Army captain who posted, "Freedom isn't free," him saluting the U.S. flag, and Twitter flagged it sensitive content. We're going to get into that, and also the assault upon our U.S. flag. Not just on July 4th, but on a constant basis now. Constantly. Time to stand up and defend it.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
I'm sure many of you do enjoy entertaining guests. I mean, it's your nature to be hospitable. But we all draw the line at unwelcome guests. You know, those that come in tramping around, oh, they're 6 feet, 8 feet, more. And when that happens, you do not want to delay. Call Rottler Pest Solutions immediately. Now, I started using Rottler more than 30 years ago because I wanted professionals. Rottler knows what is needed and at the same time will make sure that your family and pets are safe. Rottler is still family-owned and operated for 3 generations, protecting homes and businesses. 3 generations. That's impressive. So when you want to safely, expertly get rid of ants, spiders, and other critters, call Rottler Pest Solutions, 877-ROTTLER, or you can check their website, rottler.com, 877-ROTTLER, 877-ROTTLER, Rottler Pest Solutions, rottler.com.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Today, flying the flag from the back of a pickup truck or over a lawn is increasingly seen as a clue, albeit an imperfect one, to a person's political affiliation in a deeply divided nation. What was once a unifying symbol, there is a star on it for each state, after all, is now alienating some.
That's a report on Fox reading a New York Times column that got published Saturday, this last July 4th weekend. The Times tweeted a link to their piece titled, "A 4th of July Symbol of Unity That May No Longer Unite." Riddle me this. Do you think Twitter called Times New York headline is potentially sensitive or inflammatory? Do you think they put any kind of flag? Of course they didn't. And I had to say that the link in that title I just read could be considered accurate, a 4th of July symbol of unity that may no longer unite. In fact, I would have to admit it is accurate, unfortunately. In the New York Times column, the author quoted several individuals who believe the flag has become so politicized that they now think twice about flying outside their homes or businesses. And saying, in some cases, folks just hide their patriotic pride in Old Glory because they feel that Trump and his supporters and conservatives in general have embraced the flag so fervently. I know Democrats who fervently embraced our flag. Democrats of different religions, race, gender. I had to correct that. I don't know of any transgender Democrats who embrace it, but I do know many homosexual and lesbian Democrats who still love this flag in this country. But this column is written and appearing in the New York Times. They're trying to say the difference is conservatives have done it. Her article, her column said, all this is no longer, we're no longer quite so indivisible under a flag threatening to fray. You know, fancy wording saying the flag is no longer of value. Really? Well, the critics that went to Twitter did argue back, it's not the flag, it's your newspaper. In fact, one responded, reading the New York Times regularly is far more divisive than our American flag will ever be. I second that. Another one saying, a contributor to the Federalist, this is insane. I second that. Another one wrote, of those who fly the flag, or maybe it's just a clue that we actually love our country. There's that. Yep, that's true too. Federalist co-founder Sean Davis said, there are two kinds of people in this country, people who love the American flag, what it stands for, and people who need to leave. And then you got Congressman Andy Biggs, Republican of Arizona, apparently loving our country's flag is now offensive. That's disgusting. Former Director of National Intel Richard Grenell added, New York Times reporters should try living in Gaza. They don't appreciate the freedoms they enjoy every day. They hate America. Stop paying these condescending elites money. Still another one, so stupid. If the American flag offends you, move elsewhere. Well, there is that. But, of course, in this country, you're allowed to have your opinion. We allow that. Under that flag, by the way, you are allowed to do that, and we don't line you up against a wall and shoot you, and we don't throw you out of the country. And in a fiery 4th of July Facebook post, Utah's Black Lives Matter chapter, which says we're not associated with the national or any other part of it, they just have their own chapter, the founder, Lex Scott, saying that when black Americans see this flag, we know the person flying it is not safe to be around. We know that person is racist. Well, how do you describe that to black Americans who fly the flag, or brown Americans, or yellow Americans? He said, when we see the flag, we question your intelligence. We know to avoid you. It's a symbol of hatred. See how far we have gone with this? And keep in mind, the New York Times had a contributor on the editorial board. Remember Mara Gay back in June 8th? She's also an MSNBC contributor. She talked about how flags were triggering responses, and in particular, of course, Trump flags, but also U.S. flags. This again, June 8th.
I was on Long Island this weekend visiting a really dear friend, and I was really disturbed. I saw, you know, dozens and dozens of pickup trucks with explicatives against Joe Biden on the back of them, Trump flags, and some cases just dozens of American flags, which, you know, is also just disturbing because essentially the message was clear. It was, this is my country. This is not your country. I own this.
Part of her statement is right. The message is clear. This is my country, and I take pride in it. And I'm honored to be part of it. I'm thankful I'm here. And despite all the claims of constant, consistent, systemic racism and the 1619 Project claiming we were founded simply to enslave people when we had slaves all over the world for long before Christ walked the face of the earth, and still to this day in many areas, this is the only country that had a battle between its people to put an end to it. And just because you love your country, you are considered vile and offensive and hateful, and that people are afraid of you. Back to this Black Lives Matter Utah chapter leader stating, how would you respond to people who say the American flag is for all Americans? Which I would say it's for you too, you know, the chapter founder. It's also for you. Her answer, we should take it up with hate groups like the KKK, which proudly wave Old Glory at their rallies. I can't help what the KKK does. If KKK suddenly started waving a Black Lives Matter flag, does that mean Black Lives Matter is now joining the KKK? Of course it doesn't. Not likely that would happen, I agree. But that kind of association, just like that means nothing. But when you fuel that, when you fuel it and you feed it, you get, again, the reaction that Mara Gay, a member of the New York Times editorial board, said June 8th.
Some cases, just dozens of American flags, which, you know, is also just disturbing because essentially the message was clear. It was, this is my country. This is not your country. I own this.
See, in that part, she's just talking about the American flag. She mentioned she was disturbed by Trump flags on these pickups, but all these American flags, it's disturbing. The message is clear. This is my country. Yes, damn it, it is our country. Your country, my country, our country. Unless you don't want to be part of it. And then we have what happened over the July 4th weekend involving Sergeant Brown. Sergeant Brown is now a retired Army captain. I said sergeant. Captain, Army vet, now he's a Republican Senate candidate, just recently announced in Nevada. He commemorated Independence Day by sharing a photo of himself offering a salute in uniform with the text, "Freedom isn't free." He adds, July 4, 1776, America was born. July 4, 2021, we're still the best country on this planet. And then added, "Freedom isn't free." Put it up as a tweet. Immediately, Twitter posted up, the following media includes potentially sensitive content. What? Well, Captain Brown responded, hey, Twitter, I didn't realize my face was sensitive content. Said, it's ironic that you did this considering I only have made 3 tweets and just filed a run for U.S. Senate only hours ago. Was it the scars on my face or the fact that I salute the flag? Regardless, neither going away, neither am I. Brown had sustained injuries from an explosion when he was deployed in Afghanistan in 2008. It left his face severely burned. And so there he is in uniform, saluting the U.S. flag as a recognition on July 4th, freedom is not free. And Twitter puts up sensitive content. I posted that for you to see at Larry Connors USA Facebook, and something is happening you need to know behind the scenes. I put that up about, let me see if I can read the time here, probably at least an hour ago. It's got to be longer than that because I did it before we began the first hour. And I said, take a look, add your comments. Shows only 2 comments and some likes and so forth. I'm not interested in numbers. Understand that. I don't really care, except I'm wondering, is Twitter locking things down on my accounts? I had that discussion with Fred Flight, Center for Security Policy, yesterday. So I'm going to ask you this. Go to Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. You'll see the picture of retired Captain Brown and his picture that they labeled potentially offensive. Just say saw it, whatever. You don't have to. I'm not looking for praise or anything. I just want to know. I cannot believe that's only two, once I put it up 2 hours ago, that's been the response. Now, I may, maybe so, but I don't believe it. I will tell you coming up where I was, quote, a crime victim over the weekend. Kind of.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
I fell into a ring of fire. I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I want to clarify something I was saying at the end when I was telling you go to Larry Connors USA Facebook and just acknowledge that you see the picture of Captain Sam Brown saluting the flag and the story about how Twitter posted material could be sensitive, offensive, things of that word. And I said that the response of the people, and it's been up for a couple hours. I'm not interested in trying to build numbers, but I'm trying to show you something that's happening here. I also have a private account, Larry Connors Facebook. Many people belong to both. I use Larry Connors Facebook, the private, obviously sometimes, to promote the radio show and the radio page, Larry Connors USA Facebook. And so I'd also posted on the personal page. To see this picture and get the full story, go to Larry Connors USA Facebook page. And again, very few even acknowledging that posting at the personal account. But now, and I'm not, and I can't stress enough, I'm not interested in looking. No, I'm wondering if something's going on behind the scenes involving Twitter, and I could be wrong. But let me give you a comparison. Yesterday, I also posted on both pages that I had a new sponsor on board, glad to have them on board, Cafe Napoli. I've been a big fan of Tony and his sons and their restaurants for a long time, and they've joined to become a sponsor of a good 100% patriotic program. Glad to have them. And there were something almost like 30 comments, just the fact I have a new sponsor on board. So riddle me this. I get so many folks responding, oh, glad you have a new sponsor, that kind of, and I appreciate it, and I know Napoli appreciates it. And very few are showing up as acknowledging that this captain who's been severely burned because of an explosion in Afghanistan is standing saluting our U.S. flag, and Twitter puts up a statement on his posting that it is potentially sensitive content. I know this audience. I know many of you haven't seen it. You'd want to see it, or you'd want to add your comments if you have seen it. So I don't understand how so many would comment and talk about a new sponsor for the program. And again, I'm happy for that. And I encourage you to visit them, Cafe Napoli, at any of the locations. But then nobody's really paying attention to a solid story involving a retired Army captain when Twitter labels him being potentially offensive. Yeah, something's going on. All right, I mentioned that over this last weekend, I was a victim of a crime. Here's what happened. I went out to play poker. Surprise, surprise. Okay. I carry a little wallet-type thing, zipper wallet, where I keep my cash in and players' chips. Sometimes I leave the casino with chips, don't cash them in. Well, I knew I had gotten into the casino with that because I had to open it up and pull a slip out to show that I'd registered for the tournament already. Then I went to go move my car. When I got back up there, I went to open it. Once I got the table, went to open it. I don't have it with me. What happened? I'm looking under the table. I go back and search the car. Bottom line is I let security know. I know I had it. I tell you exactly what I had in it. I had exactly six $100 bills and three black chips belonging to another casino that can't be used here. And I must have dropped it. And I've already looked where I walked and where it was. I said, but your cameras will probably pick it up. and said, well, you want us to call the police? I said, you do what you need to do. I'm just telling you. So before I know it, they decide to call Maryland Heights Police that oversees this department. The officer that came, I'm not going to use his name because I didn't discuss this with him in advance. Very professional, took care of everything right away, but even went beyond normal duty time. But they, and not just because of who I was, but they had video, and the video shows exactly me dropping it on a stairwell. And they show a woman coming along, and she picks it up, and she stops into the first restroom that she can go into. She comes out, meets another woman on the shows her and gives it to her, basically. Then they enter the casino. Now, the younger woman was so young-looking, she may or may not have had a player card, but she had to show her ID to get in, so they got that in the machine. They see that. The other one had a player card, so they got her name and address. And inside the wallet is a player card of mine that would identify me, and they could know it would be from another casino. Bottom line is, it was never turned in. They find them on this. The officer calls them at a home, and they say, well, the light said, I saw it, just kicked it down. Really? Well, it's going to be returned later to the other casino. Well, how do you know it goes there? Well, there's a card in it. Thought you'd never open it. In other words, they did. They saw it, but they had not spent any of it. They said, and they delivered it to the police station. And I was asked, do you want to file charges? I said, you know, I really don't. I mean, I got everything back. I just wish they had had it use that opportunity to display honesty that since it had a name in it, they certainly, or even if it was inside a pack, they could have turned it in. Somebody would have to identify the pack to have it turned over to them. If it's just a $100 bill laying on the floor, I wouldn't have no problem with that. They pick it up. If you ask anybody in here to lose a $100 bill, everybody's going to raise their hand and lose a $100 bill. I just regret that they failed a test of honesty and character. No charges filed. I do thank the officer with Maryland Heights Police Department and the casino for checking things out. And it's just remind you, you're not going to get away with anything. And where all those cameras are, come on. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.